and across our country, and indeed in Australia, the appropriation of music, now particularly Indigenous works, has entered a new phase as AI systems scrape vast data sets, raising urgent questions about consent, ownership, and cultural integrity. Yesterday, we had a decent kōrero or two with Dame Hinawehi Mohi, who was really concerned that sounds entrusted to her, or that she felt were from Hinawehi Melbourne and Te Rangatira of that type with Taonga Pūoro, were being tāhaed by these international AI organisations, so that now you can dial in and get sounds that are created with similar effects. And it felt like a slap in the face to Hinawehi and Horomono Horo. But it's not just that. Every single song that has been generated out of our two nations are ripe for picking, and that's exactly what is happening. Now, to unpack some of these issues and to give us a cultural perspective, we're joined by Indigenous intellectual property copyright expert Linnell Tuffrihudia. Tuhine, tēnā koe, Linnell. It's wonderful to talk again. Ngā mihi.
Oh, tēnā koe, Dale. Good to speak with you again too.
Yeah, thanks, Linnell. It just seems like big tech feels as though it can come stomping in and nick whatever it likes. Doesn't even care to ask. How or when did you become aware of this situation? Because musos, quite rightly, on both sides of the Tasman and no doubt globally, Linnell, are concerned at copyright issues and, it's just theft, isn't it?
Well, it's fairly new in the music industry, but it's definitely something that we've seen in the publishing industry. We've seen books being scraped by AI and incorporated into AI that way for some time, and there is some long-standing cases in that space being underway at the moment in the US and in other countries, and we're yet to see a clear-cut decision on in those cases. But this is a new space that these AI tools have entered into, and it demonstrates the pace at which these tools can adapt and evolve and access our works without proper acknowledgement, without proper consents, and it is concerning. It is extremely concerning.
It feels like they're not names. That doesn't appear to be people who you might be able to take through legal processes. It's organisations with multiple international shareholders, more difficult than if you have a name to say, oh, this guy has affected my intellectual property rights. How difficult to track a case like this, saying, let's take just as an example, if Horomono, whose work seemingly has been taken alongside, Split Enz and Dragon and every other famous group on both sides of the Tasman, Linnell, if they wanted to have a go at these big tech companies, how would it work? And for a guy like Horomono, who's just celebrating our Taonga Pūoro, what avenues or legal avenues does he have to stand up for his own rights?
Well, he potentially has avenues under the copyright law. So even though these organisations may be overseas, under our copyright regime and our Copyright Act, and as New Zealand is a member of the Berne Convention, copyright protection does extend into other countries that are members of the Berne Convention as well. And so you do have an ability to stop misuse of copyright works in other countries. The issue is you have to go to court, and that is, the biggest challenge, because it's costly. These organisations have a lot of money and are able to defend and drag out those processes. And for, individual artists, it's really difficult to be able to take on such a significant case internationally. So the other issue we have is that our copyright laws are not up to date. Our copyright law was passed in 1994. If we think about the technology that was available in 1994 compared to the technology that's available now, it just can't deal with those particular situations. So our laws in the space are not keeping up, and that's a real issue. And and we need to update our laws to address this digital age. But we also need to provide support to our artists to be able to take on these sort of challenges and figure out how we can help protect them more, particularly in this digital environment.
How does the practice differ from traditional copyright infringement, particularly in relation to Indigenous cultural and intellectual property, or ICIP?
Oh, it's significantly different. I think, you know, the copyright law is the copyright law, and it's not necessarily built to address the misuse of our taonga, of our traditional knowledge, of our ICIP. So the way that we have encouraged our clients to work or address those issues is through contract, you know, introducing new clauses into contract to ensure that, you know, these types of our taonga are protected in different ways, and it's not just on the artists. It's not just the artist's responsibility to address that, but also the other parties that are involved in that contract. So it becomes a collective effort that the parties will work together to ensure that our taonga are protected in a way that's consistent with our tikanga and consistent with our values and moving forward.
Tēnā koe, politically, where does the issue of intellectual property sit? Which minister is responsible?
So it's Minister Simpson. It's part of the Commerce portfolio. So also it's part of the work that the ministry that's covered by MB. And perhaps that might change with the changes that are happening within government. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I do know that there is some work being done to update our copyright laws, but it's definitely not enough to address all of these issues. And it's definitely not enough to address the issues that were raised in the Y262 claim back in 1991.
Thank you, Linnell Tuffrey-Hoodia, with us, intellectual property expert. Linnell, if you were advising Stan or Maisie or Marlon, what would you advise them to do now?
Oh, it's pretty difficult. I think that you have to have... what I would encourage them to do is with their... commercial partners, particularly their recording studios, is to look to explore different types of contracts where those organisations will help to protect your works in a way that's consistent with, you know, with our values, with our tikanga, so that we can shift the industry to have better standards in this space.
Tēnā koe, we know that AI is here to stay, and perhaps we're just witnessing the early stages of its capabilities. And while it is celebrated as a tool to spread information more quickly, more comprehensive information, it does come with risks. And I guess issues like this raise those risks. From your perspective as somebody who represents people's mahi, their creative processes at times, how concerned should we be about the explosion of AI and the way that it is now so ubiquitous and able to draw from so many different sectors? Today we're talking about music. You've already touched on art and creativity and film and writing. Where do you think this is heading, and what safeguards or guardrails do you think we need as a people to put in place so that AI is utilised but it's not so manipulative and can't be such a blatant rip-off?
I think you're right. What you've expressed is the risks are, the risks are really high for us. I think there's, you know, as you've mentioned, as AI extends into other spaces, we're continually at risk. One of the key areas where we could see improvement to help address this issue is to introduce, you know, Māori data sovereignty principles to ensure that our data is protected at all costs and it's retained here in Aotearoa. You know, sort of we have control over all of our data, whether it's music, whether it's film, whether it's literary works. We have more control and we can make sure that it, only enters those spaces if we are informed and we can spaces. But until then, and these systems can build in those protections, but it's not the first thing that's being done when these systems are being created, and we need to reverse that, make sure that the systems build in the protections from the start so that then we can enter those spaces fully informed and fully aware of all the risks. But at this stage, we don't know what the risks are. So and we're just being thrown into these spaces without our consent. So we need to pull back those systems. We need to build our data sovereignty in Aotearoa, and then we can enter those spaces once we understand the risks that are involved.
Tēnā koe, we're lucky to have a person like you in the mix here, Linnell, because intellectual property is a challenging sort of area for many. I guess you might not have anticipated the emergence and now the dominance of AI issues in the considerations that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. But hey, we really appreciate having somebody who's got their head around intellectual property issues, and I just want to thank you for sharing some thoughts about this today. No doubt we'll get another chance to chat down the track, but all the best until next time. Thanks a lot, Linnell.
Thanks, Dale. Nice to speak to you too.
You too. Kia ora. Linnell Tawhiri-Hudia, one of our Māori brains in that space of intellectual property.